Hello, this is Pastor Rob of Bethel Church in Tepper's Plains, where our mission is connecting people to God. Welcome to our podcast today. We have a very special guest with us today, and I believe you'll be blessed by this message. Isaiah tells us the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Please listen and receive this anointed message and allow the Holy Spirit to break any yoke or burden that may be hindering you today. God bless. Have a great day.
Glory. You may be seated.
Glory. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Glory. Hallelujah. Yes.
Awesome worship this morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Appreciate the congregation entering into worship. Hallelujah. Ivy,
yes, sir.
That was not the Pentecostal shuffle, was it?
No.
No, it was awesome. I loved it. I want you to, Kevin was joking about the, Ivy said his first message that she heard, he mentioned the Pentecostal shuffle.
Yeah.
And because that was kind of the thing, people done a certain little shuffle when they danced, which is fine.
Yes,
that the reason I'm pointing that out is that some of you may think, you know, Ivy's just up there showing off, but she's not. She's worshiping the Lord. She's worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. You have to know Ivy to understand who she is and how she expresses herself in worship. Get that nonsense out of your mind. Some of us need to loosen up a little bit more and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I didn't want to get up here and chastise anybody this morning. What I want to do is continue with this service. We're going to ask Pastor Kevin Sylvester to come up and share with us this morning. I've already pretty much did an introduction of what he means to me. He's my friend. He's my brother in Christ. He was my pastor many years ago, a man that has spoken so much into my life. Pastor Kevin, would you please come up?
And Pastor, while he's coming, I've got to share a couple things myself.
Okay.
Because, you know, this brother right here, I still recognize him as a father from way back. When I first got filled with the Holy Spirit and started understanding full gospel service to the Lord, it was under this man's leadership. And we used to travel around. I would do music and he would preach. And I was 18. And so to have him and his wife here means a lot to me, because there's things he would teach us. And I remember on trips we would go through, and we'd be at trips, Ed Cole trip, and we're coming back, and he would ask us, what's this scripture? He would test you, you know? And so I have some really great memories of this man and his family. And so for me as well, and Ivy, we got engaged while we were still at the church there. So it means a lot to me to have this brother in the house.
Amen.
And I love you very much, brother.
Bless
I know
you.
We don't talk much, but I feel a bond with you still.
It's there.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. Thank you.
I don't know who the brother was that said there was red, and Pastor acknowledged the energy. I'm going to talk about energy today. As we talk about the Holy Spirit and His release of energy in our life. Before I do that, I want to add just a wow to what's been going on here today. The expression of joy and praise and honor to God and not holding back. Come on. I mean,
Amen.
I'm just telling you don't see that a lot of places, and it's here. It's very real here. And here's the deal. Some people are frightened by that. Others are drawn by it. The Father loves it and receives it when we praise Him with such abandon to what our flesh might hold us up from doing. I'm so blessed to see all of these tokens of expression of your love for Pastor Dot Norman, who is in the arms of Jesus today. But I'm thinking how cool it is this church is just giving expression Sunday morning full out, recognition, and I know there's special time later, but it just shows me you guys got something going on here that's not going on in a lot of places, and that's real love. They'll know we're Christians by our love. And love isn't love till it's expressed. And it's very clear that it's expressed here at Bethel Church. And thank you, Pastor, again, for your kind words. And Otis, you mentioned you were 18, so I can't get away from that now. I was 30 at the time. So that was, I know what it was for me, so I'm not going to say, because you guys still look young.
Oh, yeah.
You do, and you're a blessing to my life. Always have been. Thank you for the leadership you're bringing, all that you're doing. I know your family's blessed. The church is blessed. And thank you, church, for receiving us. I wanted to do one more thing with your permission. I did ask Pastor, and he conferred with Otis. They agreed that it would be okay, but there's a song that at our home church, I pastor a church called High Point Community Church in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, which is just about 50 miles from Philadelphia. So we're far enough not to be caught up in everything that's going on in Philadelphia, but we're right in the middle of a place that for years had been very conservative, religious, and if you know what I mean, it's that it was more of this than there was of this. And God has just poured out His Spirit, His love in such a fresh way. Many things I could say that I won't for time's sake. But as of late, just in the past month or so, maybe 6 weeks, we've just been captured by a song that I think speaks to our day so well. I know everybody here knows the value of speaking the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us that the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess and every knee will bow to the glory of God the Father.
Yes, sir.
But I'm telling you, a lot of people don't really get it. That name alone makes a difference.
Yes.
When we speak it from our heart with faith, not from religion, not because the pastor encourages us to, but when we know Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, there's not one blade of grass that grows without His permission. Not one of us draws a breath of air without His grace and blessing. And we've been singing a song that just says, I speak Jesus. And it talks about speaking Jesus over our lives, our families, over problems, over addictions, over all the things that matter to us. And you know it, and I know it. We're living in a world right now that's so divided, so worried, so fretful, so fearful, so angry. They don't even know how to put the pieces back together. But I do, and you do, and that's by speaking Jesus.
Yes.
Speaking Jesus over this nation, over your home, over your family. Maybe you know somebody whose relationships are struggling. Maybe you know somebody who's just so sad. Maybe you know somebody who's just been pinned down by some addiction or some destructive force. We're going to speak Jesus. Are you coming to the front too? If Gloria, this is my wife, Gloria. She's coming, and we're so glad to have her with us today too. You guys, I don't know how you worked it out to do this, but it is well worth it, I believe. I will shorten my message. I promise you, we will be out by 2:30, so we have time to get to the...
I knew that was coming.
Bless you. Thank you, guys.
Good morning. It's great to be with you guys, and we want to share this powerful song. I told you guys not to put the lyrics up at first, but I changed my mind. I just keep you guys on your toes. So let's just go from the beginning. Here we go. You guys sing with us anytime you want to join in. Jesus. And I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom, I speak Jesus. Sing it with me. How's your name? Cause your name is power, and your name is healing, your name is life. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus. All fear and all anxiety to every soul, to every soul captive by depression. Darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, let's shout it. Here we go. Over our family, over every enemy, every stronghold, not just a few, not just the ones we think are easy, but the ones that are hard. God is big enough for that this morning. Amen. I'm losing my voice because I'm having too much fun with this song, but we're going to do it again. Shout Jesus. Here we go. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. And Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Come on, let's shout Jesus. Here we go.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the dark.
Every other name. speak your name, Jesus. Yes. We put confidence in your name,
yes,
Jesus.
Yes, yes.
We don't put confidence in man. We don't put confidence in the White House.
Yes,
we don't
yes.
put confidence in what government says or doesn't say. God, we put our confidence in you.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
And we speak you over our family,
yes,
over our country, over this world.
Yes,
we need
Father.
More of you, Jesus. Less of us.
Yes.
And more of you, Jesus.
Our
Amen.
Eyes on you, Jesus.
Amen. You agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes,
you
ma'am.
May be seated.
Hallelujah.
Thank you guys so much. Bless you.
Your service. I do want to add it, you know, Pastor Rob said some very sweet, kind things. Otis did too, but you know, I have to tell you, it was a privilege, just a privilege to be their pastor and to share that special time that God gave us all in those days. As they say, that was then, this is now, and we're thankful to be here and worship with you. You guys have to be the best kept secret in Ohio. I'm serious. What's going on here needs to be going on. And I'm going to do my best to tell everybody I know you need to get to Meigs County and meet Jesus and worship with this group of sold out followers of Christ. Some things are worth waiting for, aren't they? Some things are really worth waiting for. The early disciples of Jesus found that out. I'm going to talk about a place where he told them just to go and wait for a promise that had been given. Would you just pray with me one more time, though, as we open the Word of God and are sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning? Father, thank you for, Lord, this just powerful time of entering in, Lord, and exploring the depths of worship. Through our personal experience, through the corporate experience of the church and being part of such a church like this that has such dynamic and depth of love, of outreach, of forgiveness, mercy. Lord, I can just tell mercy flows in this house. Lord, the depth of faith for healing, for deliverance, for wholeness. God, may your Spirit continue to be evident today. Lord, and I know it's been said many times before by others, but when we leave today, God, may we not be the same as we were when we came in. May we have something fresh, something new, not only for our lives, but for others that we may share it with. Lord, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Church, if you agree, would you say amen? I often ask our church when they say amen to follow up and say I'm in, because that's kind of a modern translation of amen means so be it. In our vernacular, it means I'm in, I'm in, I'm all in. Amen, I'm in. How about you? I'm in. I'm in with what God's doing. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit today and how that matters to you and me, why it matters, and what do we do about it. I want to talk about receiving Him, understanding God more deeply and clearly, and thank you again for your gracious Spirit. When we arrived here yesterday, it was freezing cold. I mean, ice and snow everywhere, and now it's raining. Most of the snow's gone. Back home, we got word that they had to cancel Sunday service because of the snow and ice, and you know pastors hate to cancel, so I'm glad I'm here and not there. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, open Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. I'm going to read a familiar passage to many of you, maybe new for some, I don't know, but I just want to dive into God's Word this morning and let the Lord move with us and upon us. Verse 1, Acts chapter 2 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound, mind you, it wasn't an actual wind, but it says a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be, and it, once again, you got to remember these guys who were writing the Bible, Luke in this case, they were writing to the best that they could describe it given what knowledge and information they had. So we read it in that context. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. And different translations say shafts of light or split rays of fire flashing in that room and came to rest on all of those gathered there. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. I hope you're still with me at this part, because this is a kind of territory where sometimes people tune out, or they say, oh, I hate when they go there. I don't think you'll have that opinion when we leave, but stay with me if you can, because here's what was happening. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus had been speaking to his disciples for a period of 40 days after he resurrected from the dead. How about that? I mean, that's really a hard act to follow. Just like he said he would, Jesus rose from the dead after all powers of hell did their best to stop him and stop the work that was happening. But Jesus took 12 disciples, and they began to turn the world upside down, and they never stopped. And I can tell you this, disciples of Christ today, people like you and me, are still turning the world upside down when we allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in our life. So he told them to go to this upper room, Jerusalem, wait until they receive the promise of the Father, which he had spoken of before. And we're going to get to that. So here they are waiting in this upper room. They rented a room. There's 120 of them just waiting. So we can imagine what Christians do when they're waiting. Well, they're talking together, likely praying together, maybe singing some worship together. If they're really Spirit-filled, eating together probably as well. But they were waiting in this upper room. And so there was this anticipation. There was a sense of drama. I wonder what he could have meant. What is it? He said to wait for the promise of the Father. It's got to be something, because Jesus said it. And after he said it, then he ascended into heaven, out of their sight. So there were just so many wows going on. But I want you to see, because one brother who evidently received prophetically this red sense of energy, this is what was going on here. We had a taste of it that was going on here in our worship service this morning. And I can promise you, as you look and listen and lean into God and receive the Holy Spirit in your life, you will continue to see and experience that energy that God sends from heaven to those who trust in him. So all that was going on. But most importantly, what was going on, I think, was their faith. And they were already men and women of faith. They wouldn't have followed Jesus to that point, because many of his disciples scattered after the crucifixion. But these people gathered back, and they wanted to follow Jesus with all their heart. But so what was going to happen was their faith was going to be re-energized. How many of you know we need some re-energizing sometimes? You know, I know nobody in here ever gets low. Nobody here ever gets in a crabby mood, probably, right? But you may be sitting next to somebody who does. But we need to be re-energized sometimes by the Spirit of God. And that's exactly what happened. So here they are waiting. And then it's this sound. I wish I could do good sound effects. This sound like a rushing, violent, mighty wind. Now, it wasn't wind, but it was the sound of wind. And it filled the room. So that would have been kind of maybe creepy, you know, just all of a sudden the wind, the sound of wind. And then, though, it doesn't say where the fire came from, but fire came in that room and was shooting all over the place. And it says it rested upon the heads of all who were gathered. I don't know about you, but I might have had an accident in there that morning with all that commotion going on. They were waiting, and God didn't disappoint them. Then they spilled out of that room onto the streets of Jerusalem, speaking in these other languages, other tongues. I loved what Jack Hayford used to call speaking in tongues. He said, speaking in your spiritual language. And it's so true. So they were spilling onto the streets, just full of the Holy Spirit, speaking in these other languages. And as you continue to read through Acts 2, we're not going to do all that this morning, but it says the people that were there, who were gathered from all over the world, Jews from Asia Minor, from Rome, I think like 9 places are listed there, but they could hear them in their own language. They're speaking in these other tongues that they're not speaking of, but it said they could hear and understand them in their own language, and what they were doing was giving praise to God, giving God praise in these other languages. Why did that happen? It was a fulfillment of a prophecy, a prophetic utterance given hundreds of years ago by a prophet named Joel, who said, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And he talked about seeing visions and prophesying and the power of God being released in the earth in the last days. They were on the cutting edge of that. That's what's happening. And now this was 2,000 years ago. So you may reasonably, like some people do, ask, what does that really, how does that really apply to me, Kevin, in the 21st century? Well, let's just back up a few days and listen to Jesus speaking to them before this happened in Acts chapter 1. Jesus said in verse 5, John baptized in water, but in a few days you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Everybody say baptized. It's a Bible word. Probably everybody here knows it. Whether we fully understand it or not, we all know it. We have some sense of what it means. But to be baptized simply means, in the Greek, the language of the New Testament, to be buried or to be overwhelmed in a substance. And Jesus said, John the Baptist baptized in water, but in a few days you'll be baptized in something else, the Holy Spirit. Did they know what he was talking about? No. But this is what Jesus was telling them. And he said in verse 8, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses telling people about me everywhere. So going to be baptized in the Spirit, we'll receive power. There's a lot of energy going on, a lot of things in motion here. But the reason for the power is so that we could be witnesses. We could tell other people, we could represent to other people who Jesus is, why he came, and all the incredible good things he has given to us. But I want to back up a little further, because this was not even the first time Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit. In John's Gospel, chapter 7, and I think we might have this on slide, says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, and I believe this was the Festival of Tabernacles in the fall season, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, evidently Jesus had an indoor voice, and he had a private voice, and he also had a loud voice. So Jesus said in a loud voice, let anyone who is thirsty come and drink. Wasn't talking about bottled water. He said, whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up till that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. I couldn't help but notice when we began this service, one of the songs you sang was about those deep waters and getting into the deep waters and how God takes us into deep waters, and it's good to go into the deep waters. You know, I don't know about you, but when I go on vacation, I don't want to just stick my toe in the water. I do to see how warm it is. But before it's a real vacation, I got to get in the water. How many of you know what I'm talking about? It's cannonball time. I mean, it's come on, Gloria, give me a boost and throw me in. This is what he's talking about. He said, but these rivers of living water will flow from within them. What was Jesus doing? He was speaking prophetically. And again, what that means is either referencing things that are yet to come, or releasing wisdom or knowledge from God that we have not seen or understood yet. And of course, they hadn't seen that. So here, at least in three cases, he has spoken about the Holy Spirit and some of the things that would happen. I do love this reference about if anyone is thirsty, let him come and drink. I've been privileged to have been baptized in the Holy Spirit just 1 month after I got saved. And I'm telling you, I was a godless heathen, Otis. I was raised by a pack of wolves. I was as lost as a ball in the high weeds of Meigs County, I can tell you that. I didn't know Jesus from Captain Kangaroo, pretty much. I really didn't. But when I was saved, I was incredibly saved from darkness and deception and the occult and alcohol addiction and other things that I don't even want to say in polite company, but I was saved. And then within a month, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this matters to me. And I pray and hope that in some way it matters and resonates with you. But Jesus was speaking prophetically when he said, come and drink. He was speaking about the church, which had yet to emerge on the scene. But he said the church would be filled with and led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus was speaking, and here's that energy. He was speaking about a massive release of power. Not just a little, I don't carry a lighter, and I'm sure nobody else here does, but you know, I can remember the one lighter, you just kind of click it and you get a little flame on it. Jesus wasn't talking about a little bitty flame that might appear over your head or just a little spark. Oh, I just feel sparky, Otis. There's a flame. Whoosh, come on now. Whoa. I mean, he's talking about getting hot for God. On fire for God by the Holy Spirit, this massive release of power that would just flood the lives, that would flood your lives if you're devoted to him, and that it would make a difference to all those that you were called to reach. Now, we just read about the first evidence of it here in the book of Acts. But the most standout characteristic of these early Christians was their spiritual power. I mean, these guys were fearless. They didn't have pity parties. How many of you know what a pity party is? I'll confess, I've had one or two. Here's what I don't like about them. Nobody else comes. It's just me. And nobody else wants to come, and I don't blame them. But they weren't like that. They're this standout characteristic, and as you read through the book of Acts, and I encourage you to do it, perhaps many of you have done it time and time again, but there's just so much to draw from that directly connects to you and me, because we are joined, listen, we're joined together at the resurrection of Christ, and we see in the book of Acts that God's no respecter of persons. What he has done for one, he'll do for another. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And whatever we ask, the Bible says, we'll receive. Jesus taught us that as well. But these early Christians, their faith was central to their lives. It wasn't just an insurance policy for when they die. And I wanted to kind of take a look at what they were or how they lived a little more closely before I close today, because I do want us to pray. Number one, they were spirit-filled and they were spirit-led. And there's a difference, because I've seen people spirit-filled who just go nuts and get weird and do crazy stuff, and it pushes people away. It doesn't draw people in. But when we're spirit-filled and spirit-led, you will attract people to you. People will want, they will want what you have. They won't want to run from you. But if you're just spirit-filled, in other words, and not spirit-led, in other words, maybe you have received the Spirit or you think you have, and you just think that gives you literally to run crazy and to say nutty things and then to just blame it all on God when people don't understand it, that's not spirit-led. Because the Spirit, listen, you know this as well as I do. Every place Jesus went, what followed him? Crowds of people. Crowds of people followed him. They were hungry for what he was giving. They wanted to hear what he was saying. Certainly there were the skeptics. There were the devil's crowd who wanted to destroy him. But there's always going to be division in the world. But I'm telling you, God loves this old world. As messed up as it is, he loves this old world. And Gloria touched on it, and I believe this with all my heart. I know there's been so much division and controversy in America, but listen, the answer is not in the White House. The answer is in God's house. I'm convinced that it is. We've got to draw closer to, listen, God isn't going to abandon us in this hour. And he doesn't care who's a Republican, a Democrat, a Pelican, or gluten-free. He doesn't care. He's going to show his power. He's going to do it. So they were spirit-filled. They were spirit-led. And here's what I mean. They met in small groups. They met in large groups. Kind of reminds me of Bethel Church. I see that's what happens around here. They wanted to hear God's word and to encourage one another. They prayed together passionately, and they shared their faith with others. So they were spirit-filled and spirit-led. Number two, they looked beyond themselves. Here's where a lot of churches, a lot of Christians miss it. They look at me. The orbit of their life is around themselves, when the orbit of our life should be around Jesus. And when it's around I speak the name of Jesus over my home and my family, shouted in the streets, shouted in the mountains, the name of Jesus. They looked beyond themselves. They looked to God. They were mindful, very mindful, that the gospel was not to be hidden or just kept to themselves. I love it when people tell me, well, Kevin, I don't like to pray out loud because my faith is a personal thing. Well, then I say, well, why are you disobeying the Bible? Every prayer in the Bible was spoken out loud. It was never hidden. It was always in public. They wanted people to know what's going on. God loves them. God cares for them. That's why the crowds came. Hey, Jesus is going to be here. You remember the one blind man? He couldn't even see a thing, but he heard that Jesus was coming by. He heard. He couldn't see him. He was sitting on the dusty side of a crusty road as the disciples and this crowd were following him. And he may have heard, or he might have asked, what's going on? And they said, Jesus is passing by. What did he do? He says, I'm not missing out on that. You know, some people today, you'd say Jesus is passing by. They wouldn't turn off the TV. They'd say, well, when the game's over, I might check it out. He said, no, he couldn't see him, but he could hear the kind of the murmuring of the mumbling of the crowd. He said, Son of David, have mercy on me. Well, that embarrassed some of the disciples because they thought, Jesus is important. He's dealing with people. He knows where he's gone and he's got plans to do. And they told him to hush up. And many of you know this from the Gospels. So he didn't hush up. He cried all the louder, Son of David, have mercy on me. How many of you know sometimes we need to get a good shout out? Sometimes our voice needs to be heard. You know, you can be little whiny pants or, you know, just, well, I'm just not worth nothing. Listen, you are to God. You are to God. You know, the cry of faith always gets the attention of heaven. And Jesus stopped. He stopped. And he approached that man. And he asked him, what do you want? And Jesus, he said, I want to see. I want my sight. And Jesus said, well, Jesus didn't say it. I'm adding it for drama. He said, that ain't no big thing. He said, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. And his eyes were opened and he could see. Now, what if he'd have done like some of us? Well, he couldn't be bothered with me, poor weak worm of the dust that I am. I cussed yesterday and yelled at my wife, and the Lord can't deal with me at all. So it's Jesus, so I'm not going to go to church because I'm just a bum. Well, you know what? You can stay a bum and miss everything that Jesus wants to do in your life. But I'll tell you what I'm going to help you out today. I'm just going to speak the name of Jesus over you and over your house and over Meigs County and over Athens County and over Jackson County and over Vinton County and over Wood County over in West Virginia. My God, they need Jesus over there too. I speak the name of Jesus over them. I was a bum at one time. Are you listening to me? I heard the name of Jesus, but it didn't move me. Until one night when I cried out to him, literally out of a hole that I was living in. You see, these early disciples, they knew that. They were mindful that the gospel was not to be hidden or kept to themselves. So they sent out teams to always bring a positive witness to the gospel. I had a funny feeling I'd lose my voice today. Third thing I want you to see before we pray. They were ordinary people. They were just ordinary people. This is who God works with best. But they were doing extraordinary things by the power of God's Spirit within them. You know, when Pastor comes up, and as he does so many times, and shares from his heart a message that God's given, or he lays hands on you, or he just speaks faith over the church, he's not doing that because Tammy has a handle that she puts in his back and winds him up and gets him ready for church on Sunday morning. I don't think so. I don't think any of that goes on. But I do know that he spends time in the presence of God. I know the deep love for God and for God's people that is in his heart. And when he does that, when we respond in faith, that's when God moves by the Spirit in our lives and in our church. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to get more chairs. And I'm just telling you, you're going to have to get more chairs for this place. Or if you got them in another room, you're going to have to bring them out. Because what's happening here is contagious. We're living in a funky, crazy, weird time all across America and around the world. But listen, the word is getting out. Some people aren't ashamed of the gospel. They know it's the power of God to salvation to all who will believe. And this church has been proclaiming it. I would imagine you've been through valleys as well as on mountaintops, but I'm telling you, get ready for more mountaintops than valleys because God's Spirit is in this house. Ordinary people. We're ordinary. So what? I don't mind being ordinary. Call me ordinary. Sure, I am ordinary, but by the Spirit of God, we can do extraordinary things every day. Who were they? Fishermen, farmers, tax collectors. Some of them even raised chickens, for goodness sakes. And they became disciple makers and leaders who turned the world upside down. So what do I mean? Let me try to bring this to a place where we can pray. The substance of our spiritual life, and I'm talking to everybody now, everybody here, everybody that may be viewing online as you live stream, the substance of all of us, of our spiritual life, has got to be more than what it was yesterday or last year or 20 years ago. Listen to me now. You can't camp out there. Sure, it was good. Good things happen. I love when I got saved. It was in a period in our country we called the Jesus Movement. It was back in the early 70s. And I'm telling you, the Spirit of God was moving everywhere. He was moving in Methodist churches, Baptist churches, Presbyterian churches, Catholic churches, for goodness sake. And he was even moving in some Pentecostal churches. God was moving, but I mean, if a long-haired loser like I was welcome into a church and they showed love and mercy to me, you had to know God was moving. And I'll never forget that. But I can't camp out there. I need to be growing day by day, and so does everyone who calls upon the Lord. How do we do it? We do it by the Spirit. I'll remind you that Jesus said again in John 7:37, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. I want you to get ready for that now, because I'm going to give you an invitation in just a minute. If we ever, and I know you know this, if we ever were living in a day that we needed the Holy Spirit, we're living in that day. We need a fresh outpouring of the Spirit of God. Oh, I could regale you with tales of how the Holy Ghost moved in my life in the 70s and in the 80s and in the 90s and in the early 2000s and then in the 2010. Sure, I could tell you that, but that really doesn't matter. What matters is, what am I ready to do and what are you ready to do now? And here we've entered a new year, 2022. You know what I thought 2022 would be like when I was a kid? I thought it would be the Jetsons. I thought we'd all be flying around. I thought our dogs would have treadmills outside the apartment in the sky and all. That's what I thought it would be. But you know what? We still look pretty much the same. But I'll tell you what, we need the Holy Spirit moving now more than ever. Everything about the Holy Spirit speaks of this godly energy, these powerful currents of life that refresh us and flow out of us. Those rivers of living water, Jesus said, will flow out of you to bless others, to wash through your family, your community, your workplace. They will know that there's something different about you, and you don't have to go around with a big Bible and just smacking them with it and say, man, don't you ever go to church. Listen, just love them and let the Holy Ghost lead you. He'll give you words at the right time. You might get somebody by the water cooler just confessing just a need. And, you know, with nobody looking, you might just say, you know, I'd love to pray for you sometime. And here's what they're going to say. Well, let's sneak out after work. They're going to say, really? How about right now?
Come on.
How about right now? And you don't have to make a commotion. You just join hands or not even touch them. I know you can't touch anybody more. You got to just go be careful. You just obey the Holy Ghost. Just pray right. God, bless my brother, bless my friend, bless my coworker. Lord, you know his need right now. Jesus, you love him so much. Show yourself, God, in their life in a mighty way. I'm telling you, people will respond to that as you respond to the Holy Spirit. And only through the Holy Spirit will we be able to resist this negative, this downward pull, sin and division. And strife in the world has such a downward pull on people that people can't even figure out who they are anymore or what they are anymore. They're trying to put new labels on things that we've known for centuries just by God's creation. But they just can't even figure it out. And here's why. There's an ongoing conflict. This is what the devil does. And if we can be ready to sing in just a minute, because we're going to pray. There's an ongoing conflict over the real estate of your life. That's what it is. Listen, the enemy, he hates you. But more than he hates you, he hates Christ in you. He hates you hearing this message. He doesn't want you to be in a church like this. He'd rather you were home sleeping one off from the night before and then griping about that. He doesn't want you in a spirit-filled church where they've got people singing and dancing and shouting for God and speaking the name of Jesus. Ah! He's worse than the wicked witch of the West. You speak the name of Jesus, there's nothing he can do because he's powerless against Jesus. He can't do it. But I'm just telling you, it's not just enough to know about this stuff. We got to be filled with this. We got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, you know that everybody pursues something in life. You're going to make plans this year. You might have a trip planned, business trip, vacation, or spend some family time. And maybe you don't always have the resources to do it, but you figure out how to make it happen, don't you? You just figure out how to make it happen. I want to encourage you with all the planning you're going to do this year to chase after God with all your heart. Let this be a different year, a year like any, unlike any other year. You're going to receive invitations to go to dinners. You've already received one today, a special time together this afternoon. I think it's going to be incredible. I'm so thankful to be here to be a part of that. You might be invited to somebody's house for dinner this year or another festive event, and you'll probably go. But in just a few minutes, I'm going to give you another invitation. Actually, about 2 minutes. I'm going to give you an invitation to receive the Holy Spirit or to be refilled, re-energized by the Holy Spirit that you once received, but those rivers of living water have been dammed up or they just haven't been flowing so much. So I just want to remind you, Jesus said, I'll build my church. He said, I'll build my church and the powers of hell will not conquer it. Would you stand with me? Would you just stand with me now? I want to remind everybody here that follows Jesus, we're the church. We are the church. We've been singing about this so powerfully today. Purchased by the blood of Jesus. Built on the foundations of the apostles and prophets. And filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost, we used to say, I think I get away with that here in Meigs County. Filled with the Holy Ghost of power. He is our source of power. Now listen to me, because I'm going to make a very specific invitation. I'm going to invite two groups, but you're both equally welcome to come. I hope you do. We're all facing challenges in the world around us. I'm sure you're as sick and tired of COVID this and COVID that as I am. I really am. And COVID is not going to define us. I really think if God blesses me to live another 20 years or more, and we look back at this history, we're going to shake our heads and think, what was our problem? Why did we let that get to us so much and on us and in us? We're facing challenges in the world around us, but maybe more importantly, some of us are facing even bigger challenges in the world that's within us and what's going on in here. And every one of us, I'm convinced, has a need for that power from on high, for that wisdom of God, for that peace that goes beyond our own understanding and beyond our own ability to provide for it. We're going to sing a song in just a minute, but I'm going to invite you to come. Here's what I know. And I knew this before the service started, because I heard this worship team practicing. I heard the pastor praying with the team earlier as they met before the service. I knew the Spirit of God was here. And he's here right now. The hardest part for some people is just letting go of what's comfortable and leaning into God. That was true when I became a Christian. It was likely true for those of you who became followers of Christ. It's hard to let go of what's comfortable and be opened for something new, something fresh. Wish I could cue the tape. Jesus saying, out of your innermost being, rivers of living water will flow from you. This he said, John wrote, signifying the Holy Spirit who was to come. Well, that Holy Spirit's here today, and he is ready to fill you, to lead you, to speak into your life, and to give you strength for whatever you're facing. But the big question is, will you make the move? Will you make the decision today to invite him in and let him fill you? Some of you, it'll be a refilling, a re-energizing. Some of you, it could be for the very first time, like me and some others here experienced at another time. But here's what I'd like to ask you to do, and in this order, if I could please, and we're just going to sing a closing song. But if you're here and you know, and it's important to you, and not to distinguish anybody being better than anybody, because nobody here is better than anybody. But I'm just saying this to help, hopefully help the flow so that we could pray in unity. But if you're here and you know you've been filled with the Spirit of God, but you recognize, you know what, Kevin, I something you said resonates with me today, and I want more than what I've been seeing in my life. I want more of the boldness like I used to have, or boldness that I've always wanted but I've never had. I want more so that I could be a better help to my neighbors, or so that I could be a lighthouse where I work, or so that I could be strong when everything seems to be pinning me down. If that's you and you know you're filled, I want you to make your way to the front. We're just going to pray together. I'm not going to delay this. I'm respecting the time frame that this church has today. But if you're here spirit-filled, you're not ashamed, and come as close to the front as you can, because I'm going to invite another group. I'm going to invite another group, and we're going to sing this closing song, and we're just going to pray together. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe that sound of that mighty wind will come in here again. I kind of think it's already been here, though. I kind of think it's been going on. Wow. You guys are blowing me away. I haven't been into church to see this many people come forward and say, yeah, we're filled. We're not ashamed of it. But we could use some more of that energy, that dynamo of the Spirit of God. And here's the other group I want to invite. If you're here and you've never received the Holy Spirit, you've thought about it. Maybe you've gotten into arguments about it. Maybe you have family that are and you're not, and you never thought you wanted it. But you're here today and something is just resonating in your heart. As we begin singing the song, I'd like to invite you to make that move as well. Just make so that we're all one group. There's no division here. We are going to be in unity when we pray. But I'm telling you, the Spirit of God, listen, He knows your life. He knows your family. He knows your deepest needs. He knows those worries you've had that you haven't even shared with some people. He knows the depth of your heart. And no one can search it like Him. And no one can feel it and make a difference like He can. I'm just a man like you are. You know what? I put my pants on one leg at a time. And it has to be right leg first and left leg second. That's just the way it is. Same with my shoes. No, actually, shoes left first, right. Whatever. I'm regular, ordinary, just like you. But filled with the Spirit makes all that difference. So we lift our hands in worship. Oates and Ivory are going to lead us. Let's just sing a little bit. But if you're not filled, and maybe you're just hungry, maybe you're seeking, just come up here and join us. Listen, get in the water. Get in the pool. Let's worship Him.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.